And Father, that's in the garden, that's in the rain, that's all the time, everywhere. As a child of God, we are indwelt by your Spirit, and you are always with us. You will never leave us nor forsake us, and we praise you for that awesome promise. And may we live, Father, in light of the fact that as a child of God, where we are, there your presence is. Your presence is not specifically located in a building or an address. We gather together here to worship, and it is special for us in that regard. But you are with us wherever we are as individuals, even individual believers. But there's something good and right and precious when we gather together to worship your name. And I'm thankful for each one who is here tonight. And Lord, our desire is we don't want to be influenced by the ungodly, by the sinners, by the scornful. Father, that's the influence, that wickedness is what we want to avoid in every aspect of our life. But our desire is to be influenced by your righteousness. And so, Father, that means that we must be people who delight in your word. And if we are going to delight in your word, then we need to meditate on it. We need to be people who read it, study it, pray it, and apply it, because that's what all the reading, studying, and praying is for, so that we might live out the truths of your word. And what we will discover, I believe, Father, is that the more we meditate and apply your word, the more we will delight in it, and the less we will be influenced by the wicked influences of this world. And so, Father, to delight in your law and meditate in it day and night, that is the key and the path to blessing and to joy, regardless of the circumstances. And so, Father, help us to pursue it with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And now open our hearts and minds to what God's word has to say to us this evening. And we pray for our kids and teens up the hill, Lord, that they would have a sweet time and an edifying time in your word tonight. We thank you for those who lead them in their ministries. And Lord, we pray that you'll do a gospel work in their hearts. And we pray that for ourselves as well. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, 1 John chapter 5, I'm just going to read two verses to get us started this evening as we talk about evaluating this process that we've spent a month discussing. So 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, right after the Apostle John has said, we can know that these things are sure, we can know that our salvation is sure because of the Spirit's testimony in our own heart and mind. And then here's what he says then in verse 14 of 1 John 5. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. We know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. And so, beloved, as a child of God, and this is key, we have to understand, this is as a child of God. As a child of God is not a human. You know, God is not the father of all humanity. God is the creator of all humanity, and all humanity is made in God's image. But only those who have been born again by repentance from sin and faith in Christ are the children of God. And as a child of God, you have access to God the Father through God the Son. And as a result of that, we should each have absolute confidence that our Lord answers our prayers when we pray. When we pray how? According to his will. That's what verse 14 says. When we pray according to his will. And so it's very important for us to know what it means to pray according to his will. Because it's not just tacking a phrase on at the end of a prayer or in the middle of the prayer or what, although there's nothing wrong with having that kind of phrase, but to pray according to God's will is to pray in agreement, to pray such a prayer as to pray in agreement with what God wants, not so much what we insist that he does. So, John 14, I think it's going to be up on the screen here for you to take a look at. Here's what Jesus said not long before his crucifixion. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. It corresponds with what the Apostle John is saying here in chapter 5. Again, praying in Jesus' name is not just saying those words, although I think it's very appropriate and positive to say those words, especially as you end your prayer. Praying in Jesus' name isn't just tacking that phrase on at the end. To pray in Jesus' name, as the apostle says, is to pray according to the Lord's will. It is to pray as Jesus would pray, how Jesus would pray, and for what Jesus would pray. And so if you look back just a couple chapters in 1 John, to 1 John chapter 3, and let me read verses 21 and 22 with you, and here's, we'll kind of piggyback on all of that. You'll see that the apostle has stated that answered prayer depends on obedience to God's word and avoidance of sin. So 1 John chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. So the idea here is that praying according to his will is to pray for what God desires, not just what we insist. It's for our wants to be what God's wants are. It's for us to desire and pray for the things the way Jesus desired and would pray for them. As the psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So when we pray according to God's will, that brings glory to the Son, and it brings joy to the believer when we pray according to his will. And there's only one way to pray to according to God's will, and that's to pray in harmony with the truth of God's word. I want you to think about that again. There's only one way to pray in accordance with God's will, and that's to pray in harmony with God's word. Now, I'm teaching you to pray through the Bible in a specific way. I'm not saying that every time you pray, you have to pray through the Bible like we've been talking about this last month. But I am saying that the only way we can pray according to God's will is to pray in such a way as to be in agreement with and in line with and in obedience to what God's word teaches us. About praying, but about living and speaking and thinking, every aspect of life, that's what it means to pray according to God's will. And so that's why we've spent really the last month of Wednesdays discussing the need and the method of praying through the Bible, praying specifically through the Psalms, but not only the Psalms. Last Wednesday, in fact, we looked at how to pray other parts of the Bible. We looked at how to pray New Testament letters, and we looked at how to pray a biblical narrative. We specifically looked at John 15 in that regard. And so another thing we did last week was to conclude our study with a 5-minute practical application. I don't do that all the time. Maybe I should do it more often. But we talked about this. We've been talking about it for a month. And so then we did it, you know, for just 5 minutes. And I hope you were like me and thought that those 5 minutes really passed quick. They weren't that awkward at all. And my hope is also that those 5 minutes were not the only 5 minutes that you spent developing this discipline we've spent 4 weeks talking about. I hope that you've, if not daily, at least weekly or regularly been practicing these methods that we've been talking about for a month. And so tonight we're going to evaluate the experience of praying through the Bible. And I'm just going to walk through some typical responses and some personal responses to this question, how is it going? So you spent a month talking about, we've spent a month putting into practice this idea of praying through the Bible, so how's it going? And here's some personal responses, some typical responses to that evaluation. It's always good to evaluate what we're doing on every level. I mean, if you're not evaluating it, you might even want to ask why you're doing it. There needs to be evaluation. And so how would we evaluate praying through the Bible? Well, one thing I've discovered is that my mind doesn't wander. Praying through a passage enables increased focus because the text holds your attention and the text guides your prayers. And that helps to keep you, it helps prevent your mind from meandering down the path of the same old, which is the problem that we stated at the very start. There's a lot of problems that keep us from praying. But the one problem that we've zeroed in on, instead of a big laundry list of problems, and Psalm 66:18 was one. That's, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But the one problem we've zeroed in on for a month has been boredom with our prayers, because we say the same old things about the same old things. And so my mind doesn't wander. And maybe you've never had that ever happen to you. I think you're in the minority if it's never happened to you, but it's happened to me. I'm not ashamed to admit it, although I don't like to admit it. Or my mind has wandered as I've prayed. God help me, my mind has wandered while I've preached. And I've had to pray, Lord, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Lord, I'm doing it. So get me back into line here so I can do what I need to do and honor you and be a blessing to others. But when we pray the scriptures, it keeps our mind from meandering into the same old mindless repetition. And even if our mind does start to wander while praying verse 1, then we can have our attention refocused as we go to verse 2. As J. Graham Miller, the author who has written a lot of Banner of Truth books, says, "For freshness of utterance, for breadth of comprehension, for elevation of thought, intimacy of heart, there is no prayer like that which forms itself in the words and thoughts of Scripture." I haven't been as eloquent in stating it, but that's a thought that we've repeated over the course of this month. So, second evaluation, and how's it going, is my prayers are more about God when we pray through the Scriptures and less about me. Now, that's going to be inevitable, right? Because the Bible... And I know you know this. You're the Wednesday night crowd. But it's worth repeating. The Bible's not about us. The Bible's about God. Amen? We're not the hero of the story. We're not what the story's about. It's about the Lord and His work. And obviously that involves us. And yes, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But it's not about us. We're not central. We're not at the center. Jesus is. And so it's inevitable. If we pray through the Bible, our prayers are going to be more about Him and less about me. And while we should make our requests known unto God, that's what we do on this midweek service. We mention requests, and almost all of those requests we mention are personal requests, either for ourselves or for our loved ones in some kind of capacity. And we should make our requests and our prayers known unto the Lord. But we should not only pray that way. In fact, I don't think we should mostly pray that way. And when we pray through the Bible, we more easily praise God for His attributes. We more easily praise God for His character. We more easily praise God for His ways. And we'll be better equipped to recognize, remember, God has promised that He will answer our prayers when we pray according to His will. Jesus has said, "I will hear and answer your prayers when you pray in my name." And there is no better way to understand what God's will is in general and in specific than to pray through the Scriptures. And my prayers will be more about God and less about me. Here's another one. Is my prayer, I find that my prayer time often needs to be extended. Now, I'm not trying to suggest that you're less than holy if you only pray X number of minutes. I'm not saying that there's a number threshold you should be looking for. There's no checklist that says, you know, if you pray 0 minutes to 15 minutes a day, you're this level of Christian, and then 16 minutes to 30 minutes a day is the next level up. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not suggesting that at all. But I do know that oftentimes we think that even 5 minutes of prayer time, you know, when we're quiet, when our heads are bowed, when we're in a prayer, a physical prayer posture, if we're not careful and if we're just doing the same old, 5 minutes can seem like an eternity. 10 minutes can seem like absolutely forever. But when we pray through the Scriptures, it seems like what used to be a long time, when we just pray in a rut or pray extemporaneously, isn't very long at all when we're praying through the Scriptures. And I think that's a sweet thing. You know, our prayers should be varied. The kind of prayers that we offer, the physical posture that we have when we pray, it should always be varied throughout the day and the week. And there needs to be times when we do have extended prayer. And one of the best ways to pray in an extended time slot is to pray through the Bible. Here's the fourth thing when you're evaluating this whole method is you'll find, I have, that my prayer seems like a real conversation. Prayer is a conversation, right? We just sang it, one of the old standards. And he walks with me and he what? Talks with me. He tells me I am his own. Prayer is talking with the person, the Lord, our God and Savior. But we often think, at least subconsciously, we behave this way as if prayer is all God listening and us only talking. Because we're the only voice we hear. But when we pray the Bible, we do a lot less monologuing and we do a lot more conversing with God. Now look, I'm not referring to some kind of spiritual impression of an inner voice where you where you're having a verbal conversation in that kind of way. That's not what I'm getting after. But I am referring to the fact that the Bible is the means by which God enters the conversation. In fact, that's the healthy way to look at having a conversation with God. I don't think it's healthy to strive for and to think that you've arrived at having some type of verbal tete-a-tete with the Holy Spirit. I think that gets you off trajectory. But the Word of God is the way in which He enters the conversation. And you can know that for sure. Every one of us can objectively know that for sure and not just have some type of subjective experience that we think we had where we were having some type of verbal conversation. But when God's Word speaks to us as we pray to God through His Word, the Bible is God speaking. And it's actually the smoothest conversation ever. Not always the easiest, not always the most pleasant, but it's the smoothest because God initiates the conversation. Have you ever had or tried to have a conversation with somebody who just wasn't having it? I mean, you had to do all the work. I mean, sometimes trying to have conversations with people, it's easier to dig a ditch than have a conversation with some people. I mean, physically it feels easier because you can dig the ditch and get it dug. But some, when it comes to having a conversation with some people all the time, and all people some of the time, you've got to do all the work. You know, either they just don't like to have conversations or they're not having it that day or they don't like that topic or whatever else. And you've got to constantly work to initiate a conversation and keep the conversation going. But when you're praying the Bible and having this conversation with God through the Scriptures, what's as smooth as silk? Because He's the one who initiates the conversation. He's the one who segues into the next section as you move from verse to verse, and we are simply responding to Him and responding to the cues that He provides in our conversation. God bears the burden of continuing the talk, and He speaks again to us at the next verse and the next verse and the next verse. And so my prayers really seem like a conversation when we're praying through the Scriptures and not just a monologue. The next thing I think we notice, I think you've noticed it already if you've done this, and if you haven't, you will. I believe I know that I have. Remember that psalm of the day? There's five of them, five psalms of the day. The handout that you got, I've passed it out once, but the handout that you got today, that chart was actually part of that lesson, so I put it in there again. If you've already got one, give it to somebody else. There's also a mathematical formula for figuring it out. You start with the day. Today is the first, so you would start with Psalm 1, and then you just move forward, that way. But that's the Psalm of the day, and it can seem random, but it really isn't. And those five Psalms of the day, you'll find out if you're praying them, you'll be amazed and you'll be refreshed at how often at least one of those five Psalms apply to the major concerns and issues of your life at the moment. So, today's March 1st because we just came out of February. February is the odd month that doesn't, you know, only has 28 days. So last week was February 22nd. That was the week when we did our practical application at the end of the sermon. And I encouraged you, as part of that practical application, even though that lesson was talking about praying other parts of the Bible, for the practical application, I encouraged you to pray through one of the Psalms of the day. And if you remember, Psalm 22 is the psalm that is a messianic psalm. It's what David was enduring at that time, but it was also a prophecy towards what the son of David, Jesus, would endure on the cross. And Jesus actually says this from the cross: my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring?" And it could seem at first blush, well, how on earth would that be a good psalm to pray? How could that touch me where I'm at? But as we were dismissed last Wednesday, one of you on the way out shared with me how they prayed Psalm 22 in the practical application and how it perfectly fit, you know, someone in their life for whom they were praying. Had a powerful impact and perfect application to what was going on, especially in their friend's life, you know, right then, and they enabled them to pray for them in a very real and powerful way, and in a unique biblical way, not just the same old way. And so I'm telling you that you'll find out that the Psalm of the Day, one of those five psalms, at least, and maybe more, will perfectly fit your current situation. And you have to remember that the Psalms teach us how to think and to feel according to God's design for our lives. That's why I love those 150 Psalms so much, is because they're real on every level. Not that the other parts of the Bible aren't, but they really get low, if you understand what I mean. I mean, the psalmist, just like Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we know, and the psalmist David knew, and Jesus knew, as mysterious as that statement is, and we'll get to that, Lord willing, but we know the promise from Joshua chapter 1, from Hebrews, and I'm thinking it's 12 or 13, that God will never leave us nor forsake us. But we also know that every one of us have felt like we've been forsaken, right? At least for a little while. And the psalmist helps us to negotiate those things. And so you will not have far to read before you find the psalmist's words becoming your own and expressing your heart with whatever thing you're facing. And you'll find that, I think, as you work through this method. Here's another response when we evaluate how this is going. You'll finally be able to meditate on Scripture. This has been the response of others. This has been my personal experience as well. If you remember, meditation is a spiritual discipline. Now, meditation is in the natural world, the unsaved world, especially in the world of Eastern religions, which are false religions. They meditate, they'll burn some incense, and they'll meditate, and the whole point of meditation for them is to clear their mind, is to empty their mind. You'll see that even if you're a Star Wars fan, like I am, and that's the whole point. My favorites still are I like them all just about, but my favorite is still the first three that when I was a kid, an old wrinkly Yoda teaching Luke the ways of the Force, and you clear your mind of all thoughts, clear your mind. And meditation, scripturally speaking, is just the opposite. It's filling your mind, not with nonsense, not with anxiety, not with pressures, not with foolishness, but to fill your mind with the Word of God, to fill it, to send it down, and then like a cow chewing its cud, bring it right back up to ruminate. That's what all that is to ruminate on the truth of Scripture. And look, you'll never bring up what you don't send down, right? You got to send it down to bring it back up. That might be a not-so-pleasant thought, especially after eating chili and kolaches. I don't want you to bring that back up, all right? Keep that down. But you got to send it down to bring it back up and ruminate on it and meditate on it. That's what that means. And this is something we're commanded to do on throughout the Scriptures. Old Testament, Joshua chapter 1, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall, what? Meditate on it day and night, that you may obey it and prosper. Psalm 1, 2. Psalm chapter, the first Psalm, verse 2, says that the blessed man is the one who delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And so, as you read a verse and think about that verse, and then pray alone with that verse and talk to God about that verse, you're not only praying the Bible, but you're absorbing the Bible. And that's one of the great benefits of praying through the Scriptures, is you're reading it, you're thinking about it, and talking to God through it, all at the same time. And it's not just praying, it's absorbing God's Word. And every one of us here know that we remember what we encounter in the Scriptures far more likely when we are influenced by that, when it's something that we've lived, something that we've put into practice, something that has had an impact on us as a result of that. We're far more to remember it when we've had that kind of encounter with it. And that's why praying through the Scriptures will help us, in that kind of way. Here's another evaluation that you find out when you're going through this method, is you'll discover that you'll have more confidence that you're praying God's will. That's how we started, talking about praying God's will. This is how we know that God will hear our prayers when we pray according to His will. Jesus says that when we pray in His name, those prayers will be answered. And there's no better way to pray in conformity with God's will than to pray in harmony with His word. And that's what this method is all about. Another thing you'll find out is you don't pray about things the way you normally pray. Praying through a passage will often lead us to pray about matters that would not normally come to mind otherwise. So I'm thinking about national events or international events. I'm talking about world leaders. And not just praying that they would be, upended, but praying for them to be directed and submissive to the course of God's leadership, as God's Word talks about in the Psalms and in 1 Timothy chapter 2, in places like that. I'm talking about, as we pray through the Scriptures, we'll be thinking about unreached people groups. How could you not think along those lines as you're reading through the Acts and praying the Acts, and as Paul is taking the gospel to all these different cities? Many times, they're hearing the gospel for the first time. And it's easy for us to think that that's never the case today. But there are still unreached people groups today, and we need to pray for them. And then that will motivate us, as we're praying for these unreached people groups, to have a gospel witness in their communities. It should strengthen us to pray for our own gospel witness right here in our own community. And the point is this: God's mind and God's word are so much broader than our own perspectives. And God's mind and God's word, and they're the same thing, will prompt us through reading and praying the Scriptures to pray with an awareness of things far beyond the same old, same old. And we'll find that we're praying about things that we don't normally pray as we pray through the Scriptures. And then the final aspect of this evaluation is we'll discover that we pray about the same old things differently. Now remember, it's good to pray And we should pray about the same old things. You know, don't get upset with me when you hear me saying the same old things about the same old things. I've tried to belabor that point over the course of this now 5 weeks. The problem is not that we pray about the same old things. Family and friends and finances and future decisions and current crises and conditions, you know, in our church and in Christianity and in our church in specific and in Christianity in general. You know, those big broad topics. I mean, what else would we pray about? All of life individually and as a church are encompassed with those six things. So it's not that praying about those things and those people is wrong. The problem is when we just always say the same things about the same old things. And when we pray through the scriptures, during those prayers and beyond, it will enable us to pray in a fresh way most of the time. I tried to do that. I've tried to be very specific in putting this into practice on a regular basis in my life. I don't want to just preach this. I want to practice this. And so I don't know if you were paying attention. You know, maybe sometimes we even train ourselves, and I hope we don't do this. I hope we do it less and less. That's why I always say, here's what we train ourselves. I'm getting ahead of myself. We train ourselves during a church service when either the preacher's praying or he calls on somebody to pray. If we're not the one called on, it's easy for us. We've kind of trained ourselves to check out. It's time to find that thing we dropped. It's time to get that cough drop we're looking for. It's time to make our way to the bathroom or whatever else. Because, you know, everybody's got their head bowed and their eyes closed. Nobody's going to see me. And that's the last thing I would want to do is for anybody to see me, look under the pew or get up out of my seat, because everybody would do this. And we all hate that. For one thing, don't do this. I mean, just because you hear a noise on the other side of the room doesn't mean you have to look, unless it's a gunshot. Yeah, and then don't look, just hit the ground, okay? You don't need to look then either, just hit the ground. But just because somebody walks in the room or coughs or gets a phone call, whatever else, it doesn't mean that all of us have to look to see who it was and what they're doing. Now, I know that goes against human nature, but sometimes we need to guard ourselves against human nature. But there's a reason why I say, you know, go get the handout after we've prayed. Because prayer is not something we do to mask movement in the church services. And so when somebody's called on to pray, whether it's me or somebody else, you know, we need to be involved in that prayer. It's not a time to talk. It's not a time to move. It's not a time to get your men out. And you say, man, you're nitpicking and getting into stuff that's none of your business. Yeah, I don't think so. Not with this. You know, we're here to worship. And worship isn't just singing. That's part of it. Worship is proclaiming the word. That's part of it. But the other part of worship is what? Prayer. That's exactly right. And not just when you're the one praying, but when somebody else is leading us in prayer. I mean, just like when somebody's leading us. And so if we're all singing, you know, Brother Billy Wayne, I forget the number, but we sang in the garden, you don't get to decide, yeah, you know what, I'm not feeling that one today. I'm going to sing Amazing Grace while they're singing in the garden. And, you know, Gilbert's up there. I'm kind of tired of this praying through the Bible. I'm going to lead my own little devotion over here in my corner of the pews. And whoever wants to be involved in my own little Bible study, they can pay attention to what I'm doing. And they want to listen to him up there, that's fine. Well, I mean, obviously, we recognize that that's foolish. But when somebody's praying, that's the same thing. You know, we shouldn't be going off into our own little world when somebody else is leading the congregation in praying. That's the time for us to participate in that worship. But if you noticed, when I open the service in prayer, and I do that a lot, maybe not 100% of the time, but a lot of the time, you know, I prayed the first two verses of Psalm 1. Because today is what? What's today's date? March 1st. So that's one of the Psalms of the day. And just like I normally pray at the start of a service, But I wanted to practice what I preached. I didn't want to pray the same old things. And I prayed Psalm 1. This will prevent us praying through the Bible. And again, I'm not saying you have to do it every time. And I'm not saying if you repeat certain phrases or something, you're wrong. I don't want you feeling guilty about those things, okay? But I do want us to discipline ourselves and to push ourselves to not just be satisfied with saying the same old things, about the same old things every time, whether we're praying in public or whether we're praying in private, especially in private. And following this method will keep us from doing that, saying the same old things about the same old things, which was the problem that we identified at the beginning of the series, and I've talked about almost ad infinitum, ad nauseum. I hope we've recognized the near universal tendency to do that. It's very easy to get into this mindless repetition of those things, and that can easily lead to boredom, and that's one of the primary causes for lack of prayer. But my goal is that we've learned or been reminded to pray about the same old things according to God's will. Pray about the same old things according to God's will by using God's word. So let me wrap this up with another practical exercise. This one we won't all participate in at the same time together like last week, but this one I want you to follow along with me. Maybe this will bring it to the brass tacks. Just about everybody in here tonight is a parent or a grandparent. Just about all of us. And so therefore, as a parent or as a grandparent, we regularly pray, Lord, bless our children. Right? I mean, I'm not out on a limb when I say that, am I? Lord, bless our children. Lord, bless our kids. It's a good prayer. It's a good thing. But this gets to the very thing I've been talking about for 5 weeks. That is one of the same old things which we should pray about daily, our kids, our grandkids. But if we get into the rut of just every day saying, Lord, bless the kids, Lord, bless the boys, Lord, bless the kids, it's easy for us to quit doing that because why keep saying that? And we get bored with it. But think about this. Instead of just saying today, Lord, bless the children, maybe you pray Psalm 1 and you pray that your children will not walk with the ungodly, that your children will not stand with sinners, that your children will not sit with the scoffers, but your children will be blessed. And there's one way to be blessed, and that is if they will delight in your law, O Lord, and meditate in your law day and night. And so you pray for your kids along that pattern. And then the following day, maybe you pray from Psalm 23. And you don't just say, Lord, bless the kids, but you pray this way. Lord, will you shepherd my boys? My boys, like their father, are like sheep who are prone to wander away. Not very smart, easily distracted, pretty gullible. That's all of us. God uses sheep as an example for all of us. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. And so, Father, I need you to shepherd my boys, and I want my boys to be willing to be shepherded by you. And then tomorrow, you go to the New Testament, and you go maybe to 1 Corinthians 13, and you plead with God that God would develop in your children the kind of love that's taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and you plead with God and you ask God that not only will he develop that in your boys, in your children, but that they will see that personally demonstrated in you, that you won't think the worst, that you will think the best, that you will be patient, that you will be kind, that you will be loving, that you will rejoice with others. And then you stick with the New Testament the following day. And you go to Galatians chapter 5, the end of the chapter, and you pray specifically that your children will be those in whom the fruit of the Spirit is being continually developed. You see what I'm saying? And so for how many days I've talked about, 4 or 5 days in a row, you've prayed, Lord, bless the boys. Lord, bless the kids. But you just haven't said those four words, Lord, bless the children. But you've prayed for God to bless them using His own words, His own language, in unique and specific ways every day. That's what I'm talking about. And I hope to God that you don't think that that is just foolishness. I'll just say bless the children and what's the big deal. If that's the mindset that we have, again, I'm telling you, if that's the mindset that we have, you'll eventually find yourself saying, why pray at all? God knows I want my kids blessed. Right? Anybody here, show of hands, doesn't want the kids blessed? I've had that conversation with people. In this community, why should I pray that? God already knows I want that. And the answer can't just be, well, because we're supposed to pray anyway. I mean, that's true. But that just can't be the answer, because how satisfying is that? It's not very satisfying, and it boils down the relationship that we're supposed to have with God to just following the checklist. Bless the children. And sometimes, maybe, we're content to just say, bless the children, bless the missionaries, bless the world. We can sound like, you know, Miss Universe contestants. We want world peace. Bless the world, Lord. And I'm not trying to make fun, but if I'm hitting close to home, I'm okay with that. Because we can easily get into this pattern. And sometimes we do it mindlessly and it leads to boredom. But God help us when we do it purposefully, because we're just wanting to get it done so we can go on to something else. Because time's a wasting. That's something we have to guard ourselves against as well. So, instead of asking God to please bless everything and to be with everybody, let's pray the Bible's commands. Let's pray the Bible's petitions. Let's pray the Bible's praises. Let's offer scripturally sound prayers that are lifted right out of the scriptures. And we will pray according to God's will by praying according to God's word. And so, Father, as we've walked through this, I have felt convicted. I know more convicted even than everyone in this congregation, because, Father, it is very easy for me to fall into ruts. And you have told us that we can have confidence in that when we come before your throne, and we can come boldly before your throne because of the finished work of Christ and because we've put our faith and trust in him, that we could have confidence that you will hear our prayers and answer our prayers if we pray according to your will. And so, Father, help us. Help me. And that means, just as Philippians says, we need to work out our own salvation in fear and trembling, because it's God who works in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. So, Father, as you're working in us, I'm asking for help for me personally and for us as a church to do what only you can do. And then, Father, I'm praying and asking that I will do and that we as a church will do what we must do. And I think, Lord, I know it's been true in my life as I've been seeking to put this into practice, as I've talked with the congregation about this for the last 5 weeks. And I haven't prayed through the Bible every day, but I've made it a habit to pray through it regularly. And Father, I want to pray through the Bible at least once every day. I'm pressing on towards that goal. Because, Father, I don't want to settle for mindless repetition. I also don't want to jump into a habit of just trying to get something done because I know I ought to. That happens from time to time, Father, and we still ought to do what we ought to do, even when we're rushing. But that shouldn't be our pattern. There's a difference between doing those things in a moment and having a pattern of those things. And so, Father, if we can be confident that you will hear our prayers when we pray according to your will, and that you'll answer as we pray in Jesus' name, Father, forgive us when we reduce that to just repeating certain words, like in your name we pray, or according to your will, thy will be done. Even though there's nothing wrong with that, and I follow that practice, Lord, we have to pray in harmony with your word if we're going to pray in accordance with your will. And what better way than to have a Bible open and to take a few extra minutes, at least once a day or a few times a week, to pray through the Bible. And the more we do it, the more we'll want to do it. Because just as the person, the blessed man, the blessed woman from Psalm 1, the whole point of the juxtaposition, Father, as I can see it, is when I walk with, stand with, and then sit with the ungodly, the sinners, and the scoffers, I move from walking to standing to sitting, from being mobile to fixed, because I'm in their sphere of influence and being influenced by that which is ungodly and sinful and scoffing. But when I delight in your word, that's where my eyes are. That's where my influence is rooted. And that's why I am able to, the more I meditate on your word, the more I delight in your word, because it's what has my attention, it's what has my focus, it's what has my thoughts, it's what I talk about more often. It's what I think about, what I dream about, because it's where my mind is. Father, so help us to be those people. I want to be that kind of pastor. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.